STEM talent at your agency may be creating some leadership challenges. Your really smart colleagues might be too devoted to their work to focus on developing better leadership skills. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International, former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Homeland Security Department, and writing about this issue on his Chief HRO blog. Jeff, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for being on the program today. Five things we need to do to support STEM leaders. Why was this something that you thought was important enough to write about, Jeff?
Hi, Francis. A couple of reasons. One is that I think we're getting more and more to understand that the requirements for STEM positions, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM positions are in many cases very different from those for the rest of the workforce. The types of folks who go into those positions tend to be different from someone who goes into procurement or HR, for example. And getting people interested in being in leadership roles in those types of jobs, and then making certain they have the right skills to lead that type of workforce, are real challenges. Years ago, I worked at the Naval Research Lab, and we would be out trying to hire people who were world-class physicists or chemists, and those were folks who didn't want to go in and take a supervisory or managerial role. They wanted to do good science. And so getting people into leadership positions was really a challenge. We even had cases where we would have GS-15s whose supervisors were GS-14s because the 14s were junior enough that they couldn't say no.
This is something that you and I have talked about for a long time. The way that leadership progression and leadership development works in government. Do you see signs that it's changing? You have these five things that we need to do, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But do you get a sense that leaders at the very high levels at agencies are starting to consider some of these things in a different way than they've done in the past, and not just, we're going to promote Jeff because Jeff's been here the longest and he's the next in line?
I actually think people are starting to realize that you can't just promote based on technical ability. It's even more of an issue with STEM positions, because if you look at some of the job descriptions, anything that's a research position, for example, the classification standards for research positions actually include the personal qualifications of the person in those standards and how you classify a job. But for most occupations, I think people are finally recognizing that leadership and technical qualifications are very different, and you should probably be assessing people for both when you're filling jobs, not just for the technical.
The first one, first item on your list of five things we need to do to support STEM leaders is developmental approaches need to be synchronized among federal agencies, academic institutions, and private companies. And I know you're a very careful writer, Jeff, so you use the word synchronized in that sentence very carefully. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at the STEM community, it's one of the areas where you do see some movement back and forth between the federal government, the private sector, and academia. A lot of leaders in STEM positions actually do come from an academic environment. And so what we need to do is get people to try to think along the same lines on how you develop folks for these positions, because they may be moving back and forth among those three groups during their career. It's actually getting to be a little bit more of an issue with people coming out of academia, because the academic environment has also changed, and they're doing a lot more of what's called contingent faculty, which is basically temporary faculty instead of tenured professors. And that means that we won't have quite as many people in that potential applicant pool who actually have organizational and managerial experience. So we really need to try to get all of these folks thinking in the same way on STEM, which means it needs to be a national effort. It's not just something that one agency can do. In this particular case, the National Science Foundation is actually very interested in the issue. And because so much research funding goes through NSF, and it's viewed as one of the premier scientific organizations in the world, they're actually in a position to maybe take a leadership role on this. And I think that's really exciting to see that somebody's willing to step up and deal with these issues.
Jeff Neal of ICF International is writing about STEM leaders on his Chief HRO blog, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. You also write on this list of five things to support STEM leaders. STEM leaders must tailor leadership approaches to various situations. What do you mean by that, Jeff?
Well, there are a lot of different situations that apply to STEM jobs. You know, for example, you might be trying to get funding for a program, and so you've got to deal with things in a particular way. Once you've got that, you may be conducting research over a period of a number of years. And so how you approach leadership when you're in one situation may be very, very different from how you approach it in another situation. And that's just pointing out that we do need to recognize that what we need in one case may not be exactly what we need in another case. And the ideal thing is to have a STEM leader who's able to shift their style based on the situation that they're in. And that really applies to any kind of leader in any role. The most effective leaders recognize the particular situation they're in and adapt their style and their leadership approach to that situation. It's just even more important in STEM jobs.
You write, building a strong learning goal orientation within project teams and among STEM leader peers can strengthen an organization's climate for development. And of all these five, this one I think strikes most at the core of what you're trying to get at, Jeff. Is that fair to say? Because this speaks directly to how you continue to get the person who's working for you to keep doing what you want them to keep doing for you.
Right, and you're looking here, you're really looking for people to get to view learning as a goal, particularly when it comes to leadership issues. You know, when you look at STEM jobs, you're looking at some of the most educated people in the workforce, some of the best thinkers in the workforce, and in some cases, you might find folks who view learning about science, for example, as a really great goal because, you know, good scientists want to do good science and that means learning. But when you're looking at how the organization operates, they may not view learning within the organization as being the same level of interest and importance as scientific learning is. And that's a real issue.
You write, achieving traction with developmental efforts can occur when senior STEM leaders place expectations on more junior STEM leaders to set and pursue developmental goals. Is that different in the STEM community than it is in some other kind of work environment, either in government or out of government? Because that practice sounds like a typical best practice in the workplace.
It's a typical best practice for most parts of the workplace. And in part because the way people advance in typical jobs, like in an HR job or a budget job or a management analyst job, the way you advance is to move into management and then move up the management chain. So if you want to be a GS-15, that's how you get there. With STEM jobs, there are a lot of these positions that are GS-14s and 15s based solely on the work they do as individuals. And so if I'm a chemist, for example, I might choose to try to get to be a GS-15 chemist based on the personally performed duties that I do and not worry at all about going into a leadership job. And so the more senior folks have to get the more junior STEM leaders thinking in terms of, yeah, I want to actually lead this work and these folks as well. And so it is a little different there from the rest of the workforce.
You wrap this list up by writing, structured opportunities to practice giving and receiving feedback are vital for STEM leaders to build managerial capacity. And that's another one that sounds like it's coming, that it doesn't just apply to STEM leaders. It sounds like something, the kinds of opportunities you want to give to anybody that you'd like to see in a leadership role.
You're absolutely right. It's something you'd want to give to anybody. What we find is that STEM leaders don't always have those interpersonal skills. One of the things I mentioned in my blog post was that interpersonal relationships and self-awareness are common developmental needs in the STEM workforce. And the STEM professional profile tends to be more cognitive and not interpersonal. And so what you find is these folks can be very, very tough critics. They can be very hard on themselves and can be very hard on other people, particularly if they think that what somebody's doing is not intellectually interesting or, even worse, is not intellectually honest. They can be very, very, very tough. And so it's a different developmental need for that kind of workforce than it is for the bulk of people in the federal workforce.
Supporting STEM leaders, five things we need to do. The latest on the chiefhro.com blog of Jeff Neal. Great to talk to you as always, my friend. Thanks for being on.
Happy to do it.